Thank you all for the birthday love, the cards, the text messages, the phone calls. Thank you, Sister Kathy. Made it really special. Amen. We know every day is special. Amen. Thank God we can celebrate life and life more abundantly every day. Amen. Ephesians 4 and 23, and let's just say a quick prayer. Lord, thank you for this day once again. Thank you for the beauty of fellowship, Lord, the beauty of family, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. We thank you for your word, Lord, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. We thank you that it illuminates the way, Lord. It's living, it's breathing, it's alive, it directs, it guides. Thank you, Lord, teaches us how to walk, how to talk, how to speak, when to be quiet, Lord. Every aspect of our life, your word is alive and it covers it. So now we ask that you would speak to us once again through your word, Lord. Help us to navigate through this dark, dying, decaying, fallen world, Lord. We wouldn't know what to do without your word. So we thank you for it, and we ask that you would bless it. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So family, as we continue on this journey through the word, we've talked about one thing I want to continue to talk about. Make a note for those of you to take notes, and you're going to hear me say this time and time again. We should be praying. We should be fasting every morning, 5-10 minutes. Be consistent. We're continuing our study through the Proverbs. If you haven't read Proverbs 17 at some point today, read it. Saturate yourself with the word of God. It's so much wisdom that comes from the Proverbs. I'm just amazed that every time I read daily that I get a new insight. And so I'm encouraging and challenging us all to do the same. Read, get your insight. Last week we talked about the new man. We also talked about Mark 6, 5 and 6, where Jesus said he couldn't do many mighty works because the people didn't even believe. So I'm challenging you to actually believe what the word says. Amen. Amen. Isn't that something? Challenging the Christian, the believers, to actually believe what the word says. I'm challenging you. Stand on it. Live it. Believe it. Last week, we also talked about in Revelation 2, Jesus was telling the church he knows their works. He sees everything. He was admonishing them because they had forgotten their first love. Jesus said the churches, that particular church at Ephesus, had fallen out of love with Jesus. They were still going through the motions, but their fire for Jesus was gone. He said, I got that. You need to pick that back up. So I'm challenging us to fall back in love with Jesus. The word's challenging us. Make him your first love. Get the goosebumps and the googly eyes when you think about Jesus. Amen. So here we are. We continue the conversation in Ephesians 4:23, and it's talking about the new man, which is mankind, which is a new person. You hear me say new man, but it covers male and female. Amen. So verse 23, my subheading says, put on the new man. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Somebody should have that underlined. That's why the women are going through the battlefield of the mind, because that's where the battle starts. It says, be renewed. That word renewed means to be renovated. Let your mind be renovated by the Spirit of God. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So right living and being set apart for God's usage. Heard someone say that you go to church and you get brainwashed. They're brainwashing you at that church, which could probably be true, seeing as how some of our minds could use some washing. Amen. some of that dirty stuff we put in our mind during the course of the week that you listen to on your job, not to talk about the music or the TV shows or the movies you watch. You could use your mind to be washed by the Spirit of God. Amen. I had a friend, she shared with me one time, sent me an article, and it was talk about someone had invited this thing into their house, just put it in the corner. That thing would smoke, it would drink, it would cuss, it would have sex, and they would just sit and watch it. And before you get upset, yeah, the thing at the end, that thing was a TV. After a week of watching TV, you need to come to church to get your mind cleaned out. Don't let somebody fool you and think that you're getting brainwashed and the TV's not brainwashing and the music you listen to is not brainwashing. Our youth could use their brains washed out with some of the music I've heard. Now I don't even listen to it. The little bit I listen to is too much for me. Amen. Amen. And we know our parents said the same thing about the music we listen to. It's in our subconscious. You need your brain washed. So he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where it starts, because the battle starts there. And it takes you back and forth. And the old man tries to come out of the basement, and the new man is trying to be put on, and the old man is trying to be taken off. And then we have this struggle going on. And look at Romans. He kind of shares the same thing with Romans, a very familiar passage. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Very familiar passage that deserves repeating. So here we are in the new year. We're talking about being renewed, starting fresh. Thank God that we start fresh this morning, because new mercies greeted us this morning. Amen. Amen. Every day is an opportunity to get it right, to stay right. And we just take it one day at a time. That's what Jesus told us. Don't even worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is evil enough. Just deal with what you got to deal with today. Even in the Lord's Prayer, it said, Lord, give us our daily bread. Lord, just give me what I can handle today. I don't need to hit the 1.5 billion lottery. Just give me what I can handle today. Amen. I got a few amens on that. So that's all right. That's all right. It's okay. Prayer says, Lord, give me my daily bread. That's all I can handle. We don't need things to help us self-destruct. If you have no discipline now and you get stuff, you're not going to have any discipline then, and you will just self-destruct faster. That's a Romans 12, 1 and 2. Look at Paul, underline beseech. Paul is always begging us. Remember in Ephesians, he was begging us to walk worthy, to live a balanced life. And now he's begging us that by the mercies of God, by the compassion of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul is saying, I'm begging you to live right. Sacrifice your life to God. Be holy, be acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, which is reasonable being translated in the Greek, which is your rational service. It's rational to live for God. Anything else is irrational. Not to live for God is irrational. God created everything, and not to live for him is irrational. So I said, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then why he says, and be verse two, and be conformed and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not rational to live according to this world. That's why he's begging you. Renew your mind and live your body as a living sacrifice unto God. Says that you may prove, that you can test. Until you live right, you will never know what is the perfect will of God for your life. He said, put God to the test. And if I don't live right, I will never see it. See, that's one of the sad commentaries, that what did God have for me if I just could have lived this thing right? If I could have renewed my mind, if I could have had my body as a living sacrifice, what could my life could have been? That's why Paul is begging. He's saying, look, I'm telling you, I've been through so much. And if I had the time to, you wouldn't be able to hear, because we wouldn't have enough time. But I'm begging you, from what I know in Jesus Christ, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Renew your mind and don't be conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember that renewing is a renovation, extreme home makeover. Your mind need to be extremed makeover, completely washed and filled with the word of God. He's begging us as new men, as new women. Get your mind right, as old folks used to say, and get your body right. If you get your mind right, the body will follow. If you don't get your mind right, the body's going to do whatever it wants to do. And it's probably takes you further away from God, but the battle starts in the mind. Lady said, amen. They've been studying that. All right. So then look at. Let's stay in Romans. Let's go to Romans 13. Let's go to Romans 13 and 12. Keep it in the context of new and old. Romans 13 and 12. The night is far spent, as Paul is saying. The night is just about over. The day is at hand. Let us cast off, underline cast off. Same word he used when he said to take off the old man. Remember, the old man wants to weigh you down and wants to prevent you from doing all things that God has called you to do. The old man is heavy and the old man is destructive and debilitating and discouraging. Brings with him depression, destitute. The old man wants to weigh you down so you never walk in the newness that God has for you. So he said, let us cast off the works of darkness, because that's where the old man is rooted in. And let us put on. See what you. So it tells you what to cast off, but it tells you what to put on. Put on the armor of light. The armor being an offensive weapon. And it's light. So now we're walking in the light, which we know to be Jesus Christ. Take off the darkness, put on the light. Here you go. How do I do that? Verse 13 says, let us walk honestly or properly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. It's a lot of things we have to be weary of as we're trying to be new creatures in Christ. Verse 14, here we go again. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So put Jesus Christ on. It means to, it's kind of like to sink in and just be covered with Jesus. In everything you do, let it reflect Jesus Christ. And then it says, and make no provisions for the flesh. So don't plan on doing stuff. OK, put on Jesus and stop planning to commit sin. Just listen to Bishop Omer say, sometimes sin will make you stupid. You driving at midnight on a 32nd tank of gas in the rain, trying to get to somebody's house. That's kind of stupid, but I'm going to get there. Jesus says, stop, put on, Paul said, put on Jesus Christ and stop planning. You got to plan sin. Okay, I'm going to go here. Then if the wife calls, I'm going to say I'm over there. And then if you God says, stop doing that. Where's my youth at this morning? Any youth in here? Yeah, because see, you got to lie. You got to, where'd your mom say, where were you? Well, after school, I went to practice. Oh, really? But the coach called and said, oh, yeah, I was going to practice. And then what had happened was we didn't quite make it to practice. And here's the scripture saying, stop doing. Just put on Jesus Christ. Live right and stop all that stuff, because you have to plan it. Sin doesn't just happen. You don't just go out with the secretary. You got to plan it. You do. You gotta say, well, okay, look, all right, I'm take my break, and my spouse normally calls, or got a group of men I'm accountable to, and so I got to tell them, now you lying, now you got to cheat. Now, I mean, that's ridiculous. And then you say, God, I love you. And God's like, I don't know about that. See, because look what it says, verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You got to plan stuff. You got to set it up. Then you got to lie and you got to connive. And then that's taking on the nature of darkness, the nature of the enemy. And as a new man, as a new woman, God is saying, cut it out. I told you, that's why they want to get rid of the Bible. Nobody wants to hear this stuff. They don't want it in the hotels. They don't want it in the schools. They don't want it in your house. They don't want it in the church. Nobody wants to hear how to live right. How to go after Jesus Christ. All right, so let's keep moving. Let's stay in Romans 14 and 1. So now Paul shifts and he talks a little about Christian liberty now. Okay, so Pastor, what do I do? What don't I do? As I'm walking as this new man, as this new woman. First off, he says, let's stop all the arguing and the judging. All right. So he starts off really simple. They were arguing and judging about eating meat. Any vegetarians in the house? Ain't that something, right? Ivy, you scratch. Oh, you what? Okay, Ivy. And so they were arguing, and these are Christians. So he's talking to four sets of people. He's talking to the Jews that became Christians. He's talking to the Gentiles that became Christians. And then he's talking as the Gentiles talk to each other. And then he talks as the Gentiles talk to the Jews. So four, and the Jews who became Christians as well. I said that. All right. So those are the four. And so they're talking about, because see, the Jews have all the traditions. You can't eat this. You can't eat that. But that was the Jewish culture and tradition. It's not the Christian. So they're saying, all right. Okay, here we go. Look at verse 2. For one, okay, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive, okay? The baby Christian, bring him in, but not to arguing and judging. We're not going to get into all that stuff, right? For one, believe, verse 2. For one, believe it that he may eat all things. Another who is weak, eat it herbs or eat vegetables, all right? Verse 3. Let not him that eat despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God had received him. Starts off real simple. He's just talking about you, and you know we get folks try and get deep. Let's be simple right now. If you eat vegetables and I eat meat, that's okay. That's what he's saying. It's okay. I'm not better than you because I like a steak, and you're not better than me because you like vegetables and all that other kind of stuff. And he's talking about the Christian folks who were severing their relationships with other Christian folks because Kathy was eating meat and I was eating vegetables. I don't want to have nothing to do with her. And we're all Christians. And Paul said, oh, you can wait. Let's start right here. Cut that out. God receives us all. And we try and get into deep things, but we can't even figure out if eating meat is all right and not. Let's not get too deep. Let's keep it practical. So he says, it's all good. Receive it. Receive them. This is sort of like the gray area. All right. So almost like it's not talking about sin because we know sin has already been judged. All right. So he's talking about in the gray areas. Like drinking. All right. He's talking about that gray. Because some might want to have a glass of wine with their meal and some might want to have water, iced tea, no 40 ounces, John. No, we're not going to do that. Cause that's overdoing it. Okay. Or some might have, I say iced tea or something to that effect. So, yeah, lemonade. And it's really nothing wrong with that. But it's going to get to it in a minute. But when you start putting a stumbling block in front of your brother or sister, that's where the problem comes in. If you know I have problems with alcohol, or I was delivered from that, and then I come over to your house for dinner and you got a bottle of wine on the table, see, that's kind of messed up. You know, I'm a vegetarian. I come over to the men's fellowship and all y'all got is John's ribeye steaks. You know, that's a problem for me. And he's saying, whatever you do, don't put the stumbling block in front of your brother. You know, I just got out of a horrible relationship and you introduced me to some carnal person and somebody who's not good for me. Oh, come on. Why would you do that to me? You're supposed to be my brother and my sister. That's what he starts off with food, and then he starts getting a little bit deeper. Look at how he even takes it. Verse 4, who art thou that thou judge another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yeah, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. So it's like, don't get off of people. Stop trying to judge other people. Now, let's make sure that we understand what we're not talking about. Turn to Romans 6. We'll come right back there. Go to Romans 6:22. This is not talking about sin. This is talking about gray areas, meat and alcohol and even cigarettes, because some people smoke and some don't. But, you know, you should take care of your temple. So it gets kind of, I wouldn't say that's not good. But anyway, the main point, too, is that those things don't separate you from God and they don't send you to hell. All right. We're all saved by the grace. So he's trying to say, don't get too much into the works. Just because you don't do it, don't judge them because they do it. But he's not talking about sin. Now, if you're living in sin, that's a whole different animal, because sin has already been judged. Look at Romans 6:22. Being now made free from sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, we don't have to sin. We don't have to lie and connive and cheat. Commit sin and be an adversary with God. And become servants to God. You have your fruit. What is your fruit should be in now? Holiness. And the end is everlasting life. So our fruit, being made free from sin, is in holiness, living right, being separate, living according to God's word. And through the power of his Holy Spirit, we can do that. And see, sin has already been judged. For the wage of sin is death. It's already done. You have to judge people. If they're out committing sin, sin's already been done. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right. So he's not talking about if you're living in sin and people say, you judging me because I'm good. Dude, you already been judged. I ain't talking about that. That ain't me. That's not for me. That's already been judged. I'm talking about I'm struggling with alcohol and I'm coming over your house to eat dinner and you got it all lined up and at least put it away. You know, I'm coming over. You know, that's my issue. Don't invite me out to happy hour, to the bar. Come on, you're supposed to be my Christian brother. Why you invite me? Why would you invite me there? You know I struggled with that for years. Don't take me to no strip club. You know, man, I don't need to be in no place. Like, you're supposed to be my Christian brother. I'm already tripped out with that. Don't take me no place. What is wrong? We're supposed to be. All right. So let's go back to 14. Romans 14 and 5. Look how God breaks. Now he shifts. Okay, Paul talked about food. Now he shifts. He says, and one man esteemed one day above another. Oh, okay. Another esteemed every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So whether you say the Sabbath is on Saturday or the Sabbath is on Sunday, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what day you esteem, whether you celebrate birthdays. By the way, I had one last week in it, or whether you don't. It doesn't matter. We celebrate every day. I'm telling you, don't wait to New Year's, Christmas, or Thanksgiving to be thankful or to give gifts or to show love or be renewed. Renew yourself every day. Be thankful every day. Give a gift to someone every day. Don't wait till your birthday to celebrate. Celebrate every day. I used to just, when I was younger, I would celebrate the day. Then I got older, I celebrate the month. Now I celebrate the whole year. Somebody say amen. She don't know what a day might bring. I ain't going to be sitting around. I'm going to wait till my birthday and I'm going to celebrate. Are you kidding? I'm celebrating today. I'm not waiting for anything. And God is saying, that's okay. Some guys, well, we got the Passover, we got this, we got that. They're bringing the Jewish custom in. The Gentiles saying no. The God says no, no, no. You're arguing about food. You're judging each other about food. Your relationships are breaking up with Christians over food. And then they go to church on Saturday. You go on Sunday. You're serving the same Lord. He said, cut it out. Verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. Underline that. Who made the day? God made the day. So you regard it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So whether this is your day or that's your day and you celebrate, you wake up giving God thanks for the day, do your thing. You pray and you eat your food. You pray and you don't eat your food. You pray and you eat meat. You pray and you eat vegetables. Do your thing. Paul is saying, look at verse 7. For none of us live it to himself, and no man dieth to himself. You can't control how long you're going to live, and you don't know when you're going to die. Why? Verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So in everything you do, give glory to God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Okay, look, this is the beautiful thing, the next verse. All this is beautiful, right? For this end, verse 9. For this end, Christ both died and rose and is alive now, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. So when we're in Christ, whether we're alive, and then even when we die, God is still Lord over that. That's why he takes us up into heaven, because he's Lord of the dead and he's Lord of life. And he's the only one that did that, that died and resurrected on that third day. That's what makes Jesus God. That's what makes him so special. And that's why there's only salvation through his name, because nobody else resurrected on that third day. And then taught for 40 days, and then he ascended up and they saw him. That separates everything. And that's why he's the Lord of the living and the dead. That's why he's the only one that's going to judge righteously. So I saying, stop hating on each other over little stuff, over whether, she's food and this, and they didn't come to my birthday party. Well, they don't celebrate birthdays, but that don't make them any different. They do celebrate, a big deal. Amen. And I'm not talking about, we know there's certain religions that don't celebrate. I'm not talking about that. This is within the body, these four sets of people he's talking about. Because when you have a different doctrine, that's a whole nother issue. Verse 10, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set it not your brother? Why you despise your brother? For we all shall stand before the judgments. Ooh, somebody say amen.
Amen.
For we all gonna stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We can't judge anybody if we wanted to. That's not even our place. He's going to tell us what to do. We're going to get there in a few minutes, exactly what we should be doing. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, said the Lord. See, this is the real judge, okay? For as it is written, as I live, said the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12, make sure you highlight this, put a star by it, whatever you do. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself or herself to God. Bottom line. Look at what it says in Ecclesiastes. Put your finger there. We're going to come right back, because I love the way Ecclesiastes break it down. Ecclesiastes come right after the Proverbs. Which is also believed Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. And it's just full of wisdom. Boy, you think the Proverbs is full of wisdom. You get into Ecclesiastes and the wisdom that's there, too. But look at what he says when he concludes everything. Here's the wisest man that ever lived. Chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Wisest man that ever lived. He just concludes it all. Solomon had everything that you could ask for. And things, riches, wealth, honor, but he couldn't live for God. He wanted to test the waters. I think he had 300 wives and 700 mistresses. God told him not to do it, but he wanted to try it out. All the married men say amen if you just got one wife, and that's enough. Couldn't imagine trying to handle 300 Tracys. I couldn't handle that. Couldn't do it. our 300 Trinas, Brother Marshall. I'm not going to be in trouble by myself today, brother. You better believe that. I'm pulling you right in. Amen. You got to be crazy. God tried to warn him. God said, don't do it. They don't do it. They're going to take your heart. You're going to be worshiping false gods. You're going to be worshiping them. You're going to be jacked up. The wisest man that ever lived. Man, so why would we play with it? Why would we think that our situation is going to be different? And then here we go. Now we making provisions for the flesh. We're trying to lie. We're trying to do this. And it's like, God already told us not to do it. Already know. It's already written in his word. He only took one rib from Adam, and that was enough. God already knew, hey, let me get two ribs. No, let me give him one. It's all he needs. And then Eve, and all right, anyway, we'll preach that another time. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's sum this whole thing up. It's what Solomon is saying. Fear God, reverence God, and keep his word. Somebody underline that and say amen. This is the whole duty of mankind. This is what we were born to do. Reverence God, worship God, praise God, give God his due, his glory, because he created us, and keep his word. Why? Verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment. See, God is. Not you, not me, but God is. It's way above our pay grade. We're way out of line when we're trying to judge what someone is doing. Sin has already been judged. He says, verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. That's the one that gets me. The secret thing, boy. Stay away from the secret things. Reverence God, keep his word, and stay away from that secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So there are some secret things that you're doing. That's good. Amen. You don't have to tell everybody if you go and you help somebody out and say, hey, guess what I did? I was helping some. OK, all right. You probably should have kept that a secret. I don't need to know that. Just do it because God is leading you to do it. But whether it be good, so God, thank you for the good things that we do that no one ever sees. And you see. And we keep doing those. But the secret things that are evil, those are ones that's going to be brought into judgment as well. And God judges it, not us. Amen. All right, let's go back to Romans 14. Verse 14 and 13. Here we go. Let us therefore not judge one another anymore. Somebody underline anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion. So don't put a person, place, or a thing in front of someone that's going to cause them to fall, or an occasion. Don't invite that guy over to your house late at night. Say, I need you to pray with me right now. No, not at midnight. So it's going to, it might start off 5 minutes prayer, then it's going to turn into something else. So don't put a stumbling block or an occasion. Don't give them an occasion. I just want you to stop by after school and help me with my homework. Where my youth at? Where my young adults at? Yeah. Natalie, don't go by his house and help with the homework. No, that's a trick. Take it from all those of us that are old. It's a trick, the oldest trick in the book, okay? I don't care if he says he's your Christian brother, because that's an occasion to fall. Don't do it. Don't go. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So let's verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this. This is how you should act. That no person, man or woman, put a stumbling block. Don't put things. Don't have the alcohol out on the table. Don't invite me over and just have a vegetarian meal. So I'm going to be offended because I need some meat to eat. Okay. Or an occasion. No, don't set people up. Don't set yourself up. It's causing your brother to fall. This is Christian on Christian. Verse 14, I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's nothing unclean of itself. God created everything good. The enemy influences us to take what God has made for good and turn it to evil. Even what he told Eve. God, this is what God said. God said you can eat of every tree of the garden. But just don't touch that one. And then the enemy says, he twisted. Did God say that you can't eat of any tree? See, he flips it. Well, what do I mean? I can't eat it? No, that's not. See, he's twisting it already. Now you're thinking you can't eat it where God said you can freely eat all except that. But the enemy said, did God say that you can't eat any tree of the fruit of the garden? Now you think, man, why is God limiting me like that? That's how the enemy twisted around. And so this is, he's saying, there's nothing unclean of itself because God made everything good. But if you esteem that it's to be unclean, then to you it's unclean. If you don't want to eat, that's cool. That is your thing and that is okay. But don't put me down because I want a ribeye steak. Amen. Amen. Let's finish here and we'll catch up on the rest next week. Look at 15. Saying, but if your brother is grieved with the meat or the drink or whatever it is, you're not walking in love. Don't destroy the relationship because of food. Because you want to major in the minors. And it says, don't destroy not him with the food for whom Christ died. Christ died for our sins. He died for our life. And now I want to bring in something minor as food and drink and mess up the Christian relationship, which is really not a sin. It's just a preference. And Paul is trying to get them straight as we walk in this newness. Don't put the stumbling block there. And we'll, verse 16, let not your good be evil spoken of. It's okay if you invite us all over for dinner, and we love that, but then you have the alcohol all around the table and the walls, and it's like, that was a good thing, but you know what? That was pretty messed up because we knew that sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so would struggle with that, and they would have, your good is being spoken evil of. Don't put that stumbling block out. There's more to it, but we got to pick it up next week. Oh, and it gets better. Gets better as God is instructing us how to live this thing, how to walk in wisdom. Don't let your good be spoken evil of. Because you haven't thought out that maybe someone is have an issue with that, and you helping a sister out, and you go over to her house, and people see you leaving at 3 a.m, but you actually did help out. That's all you did was helped out, but somebody happened to see you leaving at 3 a.m. No telling what they were doing out at 3 a.m, but anyway, they saw you too. Saw the pastor leaving sister so-and-so's house at 3 a.m. Now your good is being spoken evil of, because that ain't right. Men, let us exercise that wisdom where our good is not spoken evil of, because it's good and it looks good. There's no strings attached with it. Ladies, same thing. It's all right to help a brother out, but don't let it look like it's evil. Let us bow our heads. Lord, how we thank you as you're challenging us to really just take our Christian walk to the next level. Not to be business as usual in 2016 as we were in 2015. Not to allow 2016 to be an extension of 2015, but a newness, Lord, a fresh start. God, we love you for it. We love you for the challenge, because we don't want to be the same. We don't come here to play games, Lord. We our tricks or gimmicks, Lord. We want to hear from you, from the worship to the word. We want to commune with you. We want you to speak to our hearts, and we want to receive everything that you have for us. So here we are, Lord, and we ask that you would continue to work in us and through us. Maybe someone's here and they say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and Savior. That would be my first step. I have to, as I'm renewing my mind, my first step is to allow Jesus Christ in my heart so he can come to my heart through my mind, and my body will follow. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you just say, Pastor, I just got to get back on track. The new and the old, I didn't even know there was a difference. I've just been the same. But I want to rededicate and get it right. If that's you, elevate your hand this morning. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I just need a place to call home and been visiting but never joined. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. We're not members, we're family. If you have any of the needs, salvation, rededication, or membership, Lord, how we thank you. It's none like you, nothing too hard for you, Lord. Thank you for loving us so much that you died for us. Thank you for loving us so much, Lord, that you'd make it plain on how we should live, how we should act, how we should treat one another. How did you just tell us, just humble yourself and judge yourself and that's it. Then that is enough. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that challenge. Let us love with the love of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask all the members if you could come up and take these first. And the visitors, you're going to walk out with me. Get a personal escort with the pastor this morning.